And we're back. MLS weekly recap for week number 5, episode number 238. But hey, who's counting? I guess I am. All right, guys, on this episode, we're going to be talking about the World Cup qualifiers, the last game of the World Cup qualifiers, and how things finished up. We're going to talk a little bit about the World Cup draw for the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. And then we're going to recap every single one of the MLS games over the weekend right after the intro. Just like that intro says, guys, hit that like button down below. Hit that subscribe button if you're new here and you're a soccer fan. Turn on that bell so you don't miss any of our awesome CONCACAF soccer content. We've got a lot of games to talk about on this episode, as well as looking forward to the World Cup in November and December, plus looking forward to next week with the CONCACAF Champions League semifinal action that's ahead of us. Lots to talk about today. All right, let's get right into it. Starting back out on Wednesday, March 30th, the last game of the CONCACAF window. The United States had not yet qualified for the World Cup. They needed to do a job in Costa Rica first. They needed to at least win or lose or draw or lose by less than 6 goals. Mission accomplished. The United States, although it was not pretty, they do lose 2-0 to Costa Rica. They've still never won at Costa Rica. Can you believe that? But they lose 2-0, but it doesn't matter. The job is done. The United States secures qualification into the World Cup 2022 in Qatar. Not the best qualifying campaign from the United States. Lots of ups and downs. Lots of let's get rid of Greg Berhalter. But you know what? The bottom line is the United States managed to qualify for the World Cup. Now, back in 2014, 2015, that wouldn't have been such a great thing. But after the debacle of 2018, the U.S. is back. They're back in the World Cup. And honestly, that's all that matters. If you asked any team that was inside that Ocho, at the end, you might play poorly, you might get in on the last day with a loss, but you get into the World Cup, would you take it? Any team would take it. Mexico would take it, the United States would take it, Canada would take it, Jamaica certainly would take it, El Salvador, you name it, any team in CONCACAF would take it. Because the bottom line is, the United States is in the World Cup and that's all we care about. 2-0 loss to Costa Rica, Vargas and Contreras, the goals for Costa Rica. This was not a great performance from the boys in the red, white, and blue. They did hold possession 66% to 34%. Total shots 15 to 12 for the U.S. Shots on goal 6 to 5. But the two that mattered were Costa Rica's that hit the back of the net. Look, the United States, they head into the World Cup now as finishing as technically the third place team in CONCACAF. But they have a lot of room to grow. They did not have Weston McKennie in this window. They were missing some players throughout with injuries, suspensions, all that kind of stuff. So, you know what? It doesn't matter. The bottom line is the U.S. is going to Qatar, and they got themselves a pretty good draw. And we'll talk about that draw here in a few minutes once I pull that graphic up. But next up, the Mexicans going into the final day as well, not qualified. But they do the job that they need to do. They get the W against El Salvador at the Azteca. A goal by Uriel Antuna in the 17th, and Jimenez from the spot in the 44th is enough for Mexico to make it to Qatar in 2022 and then finish second, technically, in the group once all was said and done. Mexico, they're going to the World Cup. That's good. Tata Martino had some health issues. Everybody says, get rid of him. According to the Mexican Federation, they're going to keep Tata Martino through the World Cup as long as he is healthy enough to coach. So, look, Mexico, same deal as the United States. Not the best qualifying campaign. The roster is aging. They're starting to move some, you know, some players out and bring in some of the younger players. Will we see that at the World Cup, or were they going to give these old guys the last hurrah at the 2022 World Cup before maybe they start a youth movement going into 2026 when they're hosts? Mexico, they got themselves a pretty decent draw as well. Not a great draw, not as good as the United States, but I would say not as bad as Canada either. So Mexico at the Azteca, look, we expected them to get the victory, especially over an El Salvador team that I think had really done a lot better than a lot of people expected throughout the summer last year at the Gold Cup, going into World Cup qualifying. Same thing in World Cup qualifying. I think they overperformed. I expected this team to come in dead last. They didn't come in dead last in the Ocho. So growth for El Salvador, that's a good spot for them. But for Mexico, they do what they need to do there in the World Cup. Lastly, the last game up, Panama against Canada. Canada already qualified for Qatar after that big win over Jamaica we discussed last week. They go down to Panama. Panama's playing for pride, and it just wasn't happening for Canada. The starting lineup from John Herdman was a little bit sus. I wasn't feeling that lineup there from Herdman, giving a couple shots to some guys. But Gabriel Torres gives Panama the one goal they need for the victory in the 49th minute. Looking at the starting lineup, Lucas Cavallini gets the start for Canada. I don't know, man. Atiba Hutchinson was playing in the back four. Interesting from that perspective. Kone into the lineup. Mark Anthony Kay. I understand why he put Mark Anthony Kay in there to try and make up and give him that, you know, pat on the back like, hey, bro, we're behind you after that knucklehead red card, double yellow that he picked up in the first matchup in Costa Rica. But, you know, the lineup, John Herdman, if he really wanted to win this game, he could have done so and, you know, started the full strength lineup. Once he made those switches in like the 55th, 60th minute, things started to turn around for Canada. They played much better. They were the better team on the field over Panama. They should have been able to get an equalizer. They did score one. It was ruled offside. But whatever. Doesn't matter. Canada, due to the goal difference because the United States lost, and then Mexico with the win but not by enough goals, Canada still finishes top of the group, top of the Ocho, which is a hell of an accomplishment. And it's funny because you see all these USMNT Twitter giving hell to Canada for finishing at the top of the table in the Ocho. And, oh, there's no trophy for that. Do it at the Gold Cup. You know, all this. You know what? Shut the hell up, all right? You guys have been dominating CONCACAF, winning Gold Cups, winning, you know, qualifying for World Cups year after year after year. Just shut the hell up and let Canada be excited that they got a great result, had a great qualifying campaign, and topped the Ocho. You're right. There is no trophy for this. That's fine. Nobody in Canada cares that there's no trophy for this, all right? The fact that Canada, going into this World Cup qualification cycle, wouldn't even have been there had it not been for the pandemic because of the stupid FIFA rankings, which came into play with the draw as well. The FIFA rankings are a complete and utter joke. It needs to be decided on the field. Luckily, thank God, the pandemic happened for that purpose. Obviously not for other purposes, but for that purpose, to let the teams play it out on the field. Because that's what happened. Canada would not even have made the World Cup had it not been for this change. And Canada does it. They top the group. They take points at Mexico, at the United States. They win both of their home games against the U.S. and Mexico. A great qualifying campaign. And something that really sticks out to me for Canada is the fact that John Herdman, in the call leading up to the Panama game, said, you know, the real crazy thing here is that we played, including this game against Panama, will play 8 games out of the 14 without Alphonso Davies. That's insane. The best player for Canada, one of the best players in the world, in my opinion, the best player in CONCACAF. He would start on any team in CONCACAF. He'd start on most teams around the world. And Canada didn't even have him for most of World Cup qualifying and still was able to clinch the top spot in the Ocho. The FIFA rankings, they kind of played into the draw, dropping Canada down into pot 4 from pot 3, where they would have been if they would have got the victory over Panama. Maybe that would have helped in the draw. We don't really know because the draw happened as Canada being in the 4th spot. And here is that draw. World Cup in Qatar was a great live, so I'm glad. Thanks to everybody that was hanging out there We got to enjoy some chat and some show for the first 55 minutes or so, as, you know, it took 18 years of commercials and videos and shows and singers and introducing this person and that person and all this kind of stuff. But it was, the bottom line is, we got the draw done. It's exciting. Looking at the groups here on the screen, we're going to talk about the United States, we're going to talk about Mexico, and we're going to talk about Canada. First up, I want to start with the United States. The United States comes in Group B in the third spot in a group with England, Iran, and the Euro playoff winner. That could be Ukraine, that could be Wales, that could be Scotland. I believe it's going to be one of either Ukraine or Wales. Both of those teams, the United States can play with. I have no doubt in my mind. Iran, there's a lot of talk about Iran being really, really good. I don't think they're that good. They play in the Asian Federation. They've, you know, they're not a great team. And on paper, England has a hell of a squad. But they're overrated. They choke at every damn World Cup. They always choke in the World Cup. This is a great, great draw for the United States. You look at the raw talent on that U.S. team, and you put them up against England, Iran, and or Wales, Ukraine, they can win every single one of those matchups. I'm very excited for the U.S.'s chances coming up, especially if they're fully healthy. Pulisic, McKennie gets back. The full-strength U.S. squad, they can win Group B, no doubt about it in my mind. Now, as far as the knockout stages and whatnot, we'll get further in. We're going to do predictions. We're going to do simulations. We're going to do all that kind of stuff coming up, you know, over the next few months. But I believe the United States got a very, very, very favorable draw here, and they're going to do well in Qatar. Building. I think they're going to. This is going to help the United States build into what I think they'll be a world power fighting for a World Cup championship in 2026. When they host here in the United States, Canada, and in Mexico. Now, speaking of Mexico, they draw into Group C, Argentina, Saudi Arabia, and Poland. Now, this is a tougher matchup to me. This is a tougher group than the United States got. Argentina, better than England. No doubt about it. Especially in the World Cup, though, Argentina likes to choke as well. But that's usually in the knockout rounds, more so than the group stage. But Argentina, a very, very strong side. Messi, a lot of talk about him finally being happy heading into a World Cup and not being like all the pressures on him. Saudi Arabia, easy, easy victory there for Mexico. Poland is a very good European side. Robert Lewandowski, how is that Mexican back line going to hold up against him? But I can see Mexico and Poland, that game's going to be very, very important to see who comes out of Group C, whether Mexico gets out or Poland gets out. I think Mexico will get it done. I believe they have more talent than Poland all around. Obviously, Lewandowski's better than any player Mexico could even dream of playing. But the rest of the squad, the rest of the team, I think Mexico does have a slight edge over Poland. So we'll see. But a very tough Group C, but not as bad of a draw as the Canadians got. This is a tough draw here for Canada. They end up matching up with Belgium, who's ranked number two in the world somehow. But that squad is absolutely stacked. Then you've got Croatia, which was, runner-up at the World Cup, last World Cup. People seem to forget about that. Croatia's aging a little bit, but still a very good team in Croatia. And then Morocco. Morocco's no joke. This is not an easy rollover team like you've gotten some of the other groups that came out of Pot 3. Like a Tunisia or like a, you know, like a Korea, even though Korea is not really a rollover. But still, you get into the World Cup, every group's going to be hard. Every game is going to be crazy. Now, Canada, how are they going to match up with these teams? Word on the street is Canada lines up very well against Belgium and against Croatia. So hopefully that bodes well. The first match against Belgium, I think it's a bonus that Canada goes into the last game against Morocco because they've got that first game getting thrown right into the fire against Belgium. Trying to keep it close, pick up a draw. Now, I played a little game on my FIFA 22 PS5. I put the simulation up. I put 10-minute halves, and Canada beat Belgium 2-0. Goals from Eustáquio and Jonathan David. Do I expect that to happen? Probably not. But hey, it's worth it's fun. All right, and we're gonna do some more Sims once the once FIFA 23 comes out with that World Cup mode. I'm gonna be doing a sim for each the United States, Canada, and Mexico. We're gonna run through the entire World Cup and see how the results go. I think that will be a pretty fun little series to do leading up to the World Cup. So that's gonna be a lot of fun. Canada, though, I think they're gonna be okay. They're gonna have Alphonso Davies back, barring any injuries or setbacks. But a healthy Canada side can get out of Group F. Now, the biggest problem for Canada there, once they get out of Group F, is they're going to have to play the runner-up of Group E, which, in my opinion, is the group of death. Spain, Germany, Japan, and Costa Rica or New Zealand, which I fully expect to be Costa Rica. Now, we know Costa Rica's tough. They might be able to make a run and somehow knock off a Spain or a Germany if they get lucky. But most likely, Canada's going to face a Spain or Germany in the round of 16, which is a very tough matchup. You're not going to get an easy matchup there in the knockout rounds. But again, if Canada's just coming off playing Belgium, Croatia, and Morocco, what difference does it make? You're at the World Cup. Every game's going to be hard. Even if you're playing Qatar or you're playing Iran or you're playing Tunisia or you're playing Cameroon, every game is going to be really, really hard. But man, I can't wait to this World Cup. It is going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait. We're going to be live for a lot of the World Cup games. My hope is to be able to go live for every single United States, Mexico, and Canada game in the World Cup. And then, you know what? I'm sure we'll do some more as well. But there you go. There's your draw for Qatar. Let me know what you think in the comments, right? So let me know in the comments, how do you think the U.S. draw is, or your team? If you're a Mexico fan, a Canada fan, what do you think? Do you think your team's going to get out? Give me some type of thought process there on these groups. All right, so now let's head in to our weekly recap for MLS. Moving in now to the first game up, Chicago Fire and FC Dallas. A 0-0 draw. Chicago, they're still number two in the East right now. Lots of draws, though. Lots of draws for Chicago. Still unbeaten, I believe. Dallas, they're up and down. They started out well, they look good, then they kind of dipped down a little bit, then they got back on good form. But the Fire, the biggest news out of this one is Shaqiri leaves the game in the 19th minute with an injury. Don't know the exact status on that yet, but John Donovan is going to give you the Fire update on the podcast side. So we're going to take our sponsor break here. We'll put up the Skira graphic, and there we go. We'll let John take it away about the Fire and Dallas, and then we'll come back and continue on with our MLS weekly recap. This MLS weekly recap is sponsored by Skira, Icelandic spring water, available at your local 7-Eleven. Icelandic for clear, Skira water comes from a spring in a nature preserve in Iceland with naturally low mineral content. This isn't your average water. Clearly, yes, pun intended, it's one of the best. Get some Skira today at your local 7-Eleven. And now it's time for our weekly Chicago Fire update, brought to you by John Donovan. Take it away, John.
Mike, John Donovan here covering the Chicago Fire and the MLS. We had a great game. I know people that just like American football don't like 0-0 games, but it was a brilliant game, Mike. The Fire, I know they will be in the playoffs this year. They have a bench that can match anybody's bench. Interesting game, terribly interesting game. The Dallas coach chose not to start Ferreira and his other World Cuppers. He kept Areola on the bench the whole game. Ferreiro he put in at the end, where Hendrickson, for people that did go to the elimination for the World Cup, he chose to use Shakira, which I thought was odd, to tell you the truth. And unfortunately, 18 minutes in the game, Shakira appears to have pulled a hamstring, which if you followed his career, he has lost or missed multiple minutes and games for hamstring or muscle pulls. So, I mean, he made the World Cup, Switzerland qualified, and he was a big part of it. But that was a worry when we traded for Shakira. So in one side, I hope he gets better soon, but I really like to see Brian Gutierrez get the chance at that center midfield position. That's the position he was trained on, and where Wiki kept putting him out at left wing. It wasn't good. So let's see how Brian Gutierrez does. But the game, you know, the game was very even style right at the beginning. Within the 10th and the 20th minute, both teams had excellent chances at the goal. I found it very interesting that Chezov, the German player, did not play. He not on the injury report, but they kept him on the bench apparently and used Pineda, who always plays excellent. I mean, that's a guy that, you know, I watch quite closely during these games. He's a DP and he's on and off is Jimenez. Today, you know, I saw him play some really brilliant plays, but when you're a DP, you need those guys working for you. And he didn't really create any good moments for the team. Defensively, okay. But when you've got Shakira out and you need those guys making the big money, he didn't come through in this game. They, interestingly enough, Bornstein came in about the 60th minute. And where did they use him? They used him in the midfield. So it seems like Henderson has got his guys that he's going to use during the games. He trusts these guys. He trusts Gutierrez. He trusts Bornstein to play virtually any place on the field. We haven't seen him really open up the bench. Casas got in. He seems to be a player that we can look forward to seeing. But, you know, the fire overall, the defense, even, you know, that Chesnoff wasn't on today. Pineda, excellent. Olmsberg, beyond excellent. The guy really knows the game. He's a smart guy. And Sekulic, really, you know, when you get down, he has the meanest cross in the league. I thought Chabilko could have scored a couple times if he only got his head on, if he turned around and picked it up. But on that wing side, Sekulic is dynamite. So, Mike, the team is playing well. They're coming into a very tough time of the season for themselves, and we'll just have to see. I'm super impressed with Henderson. He doesn't put guys on the field that get yellow cards, that don't manage themselves. They're arguing with referees. No, he doesn't have those kind of guys on the field. He's got guys that play his way, and I'm impressed. I think the fire could go a long way this year. So big question for the next game will be how Shakira will rebound from these hamstring pulls. Will the team give him enough time to really mend it again? We'll just have to see. Take care, Mike. Love doing the show.
Thanks for that Chicago Fire update, John. We'll talk to you next week. All right, so moving along, we've got Montreal visiting Cincinnati, and wow, lots of goals in this matchup. Montreal comes out the victors 4-3 over FC Cincinnati. And man, what a game. 7 goals total scored in this one. It was back and forth, constant action in this game. Montreal, Jordy Mihailovic with 2 goals. Kai Kamara with a goal as well. Torres gets on the score sheet. Brandon Vasquez, an Alistair Johnston own goal. And Luciano Acosta from the spot. Cincinnati at home, their struggles continue. Montreal, I had a feeling these guys were going to bounce back. They're out of CCL. They have too much talent to be playing as bad as they were playing, at least in the beginning portion of the season when they were still in CCL. So a good result there for Montreal on the road. It's Cincinnati, but you know what? Doesn't matter. Montreal is going to be happy with that result to at least get back on the right track. Now, looking at this matchup here, God bless Cincinnati, man. What does this team have to do? What does this team have to do to, you know, they got a couple good results. Then they went to Charlotte and crapped the bed. Then they're at home against a Montreal team that they've got a great opportunity to beat. They can't get it done. God bless this Cincinnati team, man. I feel so bad for this team. And maybe I shouldn't, but I just, this poor team, they just can't seem to catch a break. Can't seem to catch a break. Now, looking at the stats in this matchup, an offensive powerhouse here. Montreal with possession, 58% to 42. Total shots, though, Cincinnati 18 to 9. That conversion right there for Montreal. 6 shots on goal to 7 for Cincinnati. So 13 shots on goal. Where were the goalkeepers? Where were they? 13 shots on goal, 7 goals. That is a horrible save percentage for both keepers. Looking at the passes as well, 83% for Montreal, 76% for Cincinnati. That's pretty much the difference maker in this one. And, of course, the penalty from Luciano Acosta there. But overall, good result for Montreal as they continue to climb up, try to climb up the Eastern Conference standings. Next up, the game we were live for here, Toronto FC and New York City. TFC gets the victory 2-1 over NYCFC. Jesus Jimenez scores again. We're going to talk about him in a minute. And then a Thiago Martins' own goal on a beautiful free kick in from Alejandro Pozuelo. And then you've got New York City's goal in stoppage time from Hebert in the 92nd minute. Now, before, DSO's probably already commented in the premiere here. But my God, pro referees come out and make a statement today, which I thought was very interesting because they don't always come out and make statements about calls that they say they missed. And this one was not one that was super, super obvious here. And I know the New York City fans will disagree with me, but that was, if it was actually a foul, that was one of the weakest penalties I've ever seen in my entire life. So pro to come out and make a statement saying that they blew it, that there was contact and that they didn't see the VAR didn't show that angle to the referee and it shouldn't have been overturned. My God, if we're going to start calling penalties like that, God bless us, because that was weak as hell. Kosi Thompson was getting out of the way. He's running behind the guy. His foot barely clips Kosi Thompson's knee. He goes down like a ton of bricks, and that's what we're going to call penalties on? There was, he clipped his own damn leg as well once he started going down. He clips the back of his calf. Now, does it put a little bit of a taint on the victory? Of course it does. When the refereeing association comes out and says, we made a mistake, that would have changed the game. That would have given New York City most likely a 1-0 lead if they would have put it home, and maybe that changes the result of the game. However, Toronto FC, you know what? You got to take it when you can. TFC has had a lot of calls go against them in the past that were really, really bad. So we'll take it, okay? But Jesus Jimenez, I want to talk about this guy for a second. This is one of the best signings in MLS this year. Jimenez is a beast. The man is scoring goals left and right for TFC. He is a big-time number 9. He's fast. He's quick. He's big. He is a great, great player. And a lot of speculation. I mean, this guy could be in the Golden Boot race once all is said and done. Remember, he's going to have a guy named Lorenzo Insigne feeding him the ball come July. And if anybody watched the Napoli-Atalanta game, Insigne with a beautiful penalty. Hopefully he can help Toronto FC's penalty taking out a little bit because we all know how they are with penalties. But Insigne with a beautiful penalty kick goal and then a great assist as well off of a free kick. Man, he's going to be feeding that ball into Jimenez. Jimenez is going to keep burying him. Toronto FC is in a great position. They're sitting now in the 7th spot in the Eastern table, and they've gotten better and better each week. Now, New York City, on the other hand, they're focusing on CCL. We expected this. I expected this. I expected Toronto to win this game. I actually thought New York City was going to play a few more bench players in this matchup to rest players for the CCL coming up midweek. Now, speaking of that CCL, we'll be live for the CCL matchup on Wednesday night. Seattle Sounders against New York City in the first leg from Lumen Field. The plan is to be live for this, guys. I can't guarantee it because it's been absolutely crazy lately. And I'm getting ready to go out of town this weekend. So this is going to be the only live. If we're able to do one, it's going to be this matchup. I'm going to set everything up, plan as to do it. But we might not because I'm going out of town Thursday morning. I leave and not getting back until Sunday, very late Sunday night. So it's going to be a great matchup, though, in the CCL. Can't wait for that one. New York City, though, they put their full-strength lineup out there. And they almost, barring that penalty call, maybe they would have gotten a better result on the road in Toronto. But TFC continues to look good and get better every single week. All right, next up, Nashville against Columbus. Nashville with a 1-0 victory over the Crew. Alex Mule, a goal in the 28th minute. Nashville working their way back. They had a little bit of a downstretch there, but they're starting to get back to that Nashville form that we expected. 1-0 victory over Columbus in Columbus. Good road win for Nashville there in that action. Next up, DC United and Atlanta. A very boring game, 0-0. And then Marcelino Moreno in the 94th minute smashes it home. Victory for Atlanta United on the road at DC. DC struggles continue. Atlanta, that's a big boy win right there. Road win is always good for Atlanta because their road form usually is not that good. Usually it's the home form that makes this team. And lately they have not been able to pull off results on the road, but they did it on Saturday and got the victory over DC United. Now, DC United, Hernan Losada, I think he overperformed last season with the squad that he has. This season, it's starting to show that this squad needs some help. I mean, you look at this team, they don't have Paul Arriola anymore. That's hurting them, for sure. I mean, this is a weak team overall. I mean, Bill Hamid, good goalie. But Smith, Heinz-Eich, Birnbaum, Nahar, Gressel play in that wingback position. Get Gressel further up the pitch. Knaus, Defjal, Durkin, Ola Kamara, and Nigel Roberta. Not the strongest lineup in the world for DC United. They've got to do a little bit better. You're not going to be able to play with the big boys like Atlanta's, like Toronto's, like New York City when you put out a lineup like that. So, DC United, go get a good signing in the summertime. You need it, sure. Now, Atlanta, on the other hand, this team looks solid, looks very solid. And it really comes down to that road form for Atlanta. If they can win their games on the road, or not, obviously not win all of them, but win some of them, even 50%, would be huge for this squad. Would be one of the top teams in the East if they can figure that out. Next up, New York Red Bulls visiting the New England Revolution at Gillette Stadium. Two red cards in this one. One in the 73rd minute to Red Bull, and then one in the 94th minute to Buxa for New England. The goal, an own goal by Matt Polster and New England in the 90th minute. This one looked like it was going to be a 0-0 draw, just like that DC-Atlanta game. But New York gets the victory on the road by an own goal by Matt Polster. And the Revs, God bless them, man. The Revs are looking shoddy, looking real shoddy. You look at New England, all right, in the offseason. I had said, okay, New England, these are some good signings. The former TFC guys, right? The Americans that Bruce Arena's familiar with. Omar Gonzalez, Jozy Altidore. Good signings as depth pieces, not as starters. Jozy Altidore is not a starter in MLS anymore, all right? Get over it. And anybody that thinks he's going to make the USMNT squad, forget about it. It's not happening. He better not. Let's put it that way. He better not make the U.S. squad. But Carlos Hill, Jozy Altidore, Renix. Renix, he's got talent. He's a good young player. He just hasn't amounted to what we expected out of Renix for sure. But look, New England is struggling, man. They got that CCL hangover, even though they only had to play one matchup and they blew it. But this team's kind of a head case right now, and that's very surprising from a Bruce Arena side because you've got Carlos Hill bitching about the snow. He was complaining about that. They come out, they poop the bed against Pumas in the CONCACAF Champions League. You got to right the ship there, Bruce. You got to right the ship, and you know what? I hate to say it, but it's mostly because of that guy right there. When you bring that cancer into the locker room like that, he's not a team player. He's not been good for TFC. He tore that lineup apart. He tore that club apart with his on-the-field and off-the-field antics. And he's doing the same thing in New England. He's bad for the locker room. Now, moving on. New York Red Bulls, they started out real hot. They hit a little bit of a down patch. Now they pick up a road victory. The Red Bulls are going to be fighting for a playoff spot. They're a good team. I expect them, as I say, my preseason predictions, I had them going to the playoffs. So Red Bulls, we'll see how that works out. Orlando and LAFC from Exploria Stadium in Orlando. Pato and João Moutinho with the goals for Orlando City. LAFC, 4 goals for Brian Rodriguez, Murillo, Ilias Sanchez, and Opoku. Another strong performance from LAFC, ladies and gentlemen. This team is a good team. They're not going to go away. LAFC is going to be fighting for a shield this year, I have a feeling. A very, very strong squad in LAFC. They play very well. Not a ton of star power, but they play really well together. And having that front line of Carlos Vela, Arango, and Rodriguez is really, really solid. So if that front line can stay healthy, expect big things out of LAFC this season for sure. So Ramon, I'm sure you're happy about that. All right, moving along, Philadelphia and Charlotte. Philadelphia does what they're supposed to do. They beat the expansion team 2-0. Goals from Carranza and Gazdag. And Philly doing what they need to do. You're supposed to beat the expansion team, especially when you're playing at home. And they did. 2-0. Philadelphia right now, top of the East. Surprising, actually. With the amount of talent on that field or on that team for Philly, that is a surprising thing to me. I did not expect them to be at the top. Especially with getting rid of Jamiro Montero, losing Shabilko as well. Carranza, lots of talk. Jim Curtin loves him. Says he's got Tati Castellanos-like potential for the Union. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. I think that's just the coach trying to pump up his player who scored a good goal. So Philadelphia Union, Charlotte, 2-0 victory. And they continue to stay at the top of the table. Next up, San Jose against Austin FC. A draw, a 2-2 draw, a big-time comeback from San Jose. The comeback kids, they did it against Columbus earlier in the year, and now they do it against Austin at Avaya Stadium. First goals by Maxi Arruti and Druisi from the spot for Austin. They take the 2-0 lead. Ebobisi gets a penalty and bangs it home. And then Cade Cowell scores just a couple minutes later, 2-2 draw in this one, and maybe Matias Almeida can hold on for another week in that role, but it's a matter of time before he is out of there, especially with how that team has played. But something's going on there with the motivation to pull that draw out. Maybe the most surprising result of the weekend for me, Minnesota and Seattle. In Minnesota, Seattle Sounders gets the 2-1 victory over Minnesota. Joao Paulo and Kalman own goal for Seattle. Reynoso from the spot in the 82nd minute. And Seattle, they're playing at home against New York City midweek. Again, we'll be live for that one. And they come out with a victory. Surprising. I was expecting Seattle to lose because of that CCL game coming up against New York City. But they bring a full-strength lineup there, and Ladero looking good in this one. And Seattle gets the victory 2-1 over Minnesota. Lost my three-leg parlay on this one. Really pissed me off. But overall, great result for Seattle. Although they're in CCL and they haven't started out the season the best, you can never count out the Flounders, as Rocky would call them. So there you go. Seattle 2-1 victory heading into their midweek CONCACAF Champions League semifinal matchup. Vancouver, Sporting Kansas City. Vancouver finally gets the W. Raposo in the 73rd minute. Vancouver has not looked good this season. Kansas City, though, the perfect opponent when you're playing them and they're on the road. Because Kansas City's road form has been garbage for a long time. And it continues. This is a game, if Sporting Kansas City wants to be serious, they want to make a playoff run this year, they're going to have to start winning away games. And this is a game to do that in. A team against, like, Vancouver that is in shambles right now, that's the team that you've got to beat, SKC, and you're not able to get it done. So, SKC, I have my faith in you has dwindled, unfortunately. It continues to dwindle down. But, man, it is it's going to be interesting to see what SKC looks like this year, especially with no Alan Pulido out for probably the whole season with that injury. But Vancouver, anything to take from this? Not really. For me, I got to see it on a longer stretch from Vancouver. I got to see what they can do going forward. Next up, the Rocky Mountain Cup. Colorado and RSL tie 1-1. Abubakar in a 56th minute for Colorado ties it up after Salt Lake had taken the lead from Ruiz on a penalty kick in the 45th minute. Colorado continuing to pull some decent results here after that early season debacle in the Champions League. And then, of course, we all know in the regular season as well, those first couple matchups were not good. RSL still finding ways to get results. A draw on the road against your rival is still a decent result. So RSL with the draw, not bad at all. Next up, Miami and Houston. God bless Inter Miami. They're falling into the same category as FC Cincinnati. Although they did make the playoffs. Everybody, make sure you recognize the fact that Inter Miami made the playoffs back in the pandemic year in 2020 when there was 10 spots available. Miami, what a mess. What a mess. Why has Gary Neville not been canned yet? That's the question I'm asking. This team looks like trash. The talent level is not there. They had a lot of big names. They couldn't get results. Now they don't have as many big names because, you know, they were bending the rules. But they still just don't have. They just don't have it. Gonzalo Higuain with the penalty kick. This is a guy who was starring in Europe, one of the better players in the game for a long period of time. And he just does not look the same. Houston, Darwin Quintero in the 49th minute, Fafa Picot with the double, a penalty, and then a goal in stoppage time. And Houston goes on the road and beats Miami. Miami, you got to look at yourself in the mirror here. When you're losing to a team like Houston, who's projected to finish bottom of the West, at home, you got some serious questions to answer. Serious, serious questions to answer. Inter Miami fans, let me know. What are you thinking? Give me some inside scoop. Let me know in the comments what you're thinking about this team. What needs to be done for Inter Miami? Is it just Neville? Is it they need to sign a couple more TAM level players? Do they need some better depth? What is the problem in Miami? And how do we fix that problem in Miami? God bless you, Inter Miami fans. You deserve better. You deserve better. Last game of the week on Sunday, Portland Timbers hosting LA Galaxy. LA Galaxy go in and bang it out. 3-1 victory over Portland in Portland. I'm impressed, Galaxy. I'm impressed. Bonilla with a red card for Portland right before halftime. Didn't really matter. It was already 2-0 at that point for LA Galaxy. Chicharito with a goal in the 9th minute. A Tui Loma own goal in the 16th minute. And then, of course, Chicharito again in the 59th minute with a great feed from Raheem Edwards. Portland's only goal, Tui Loma gets one on both sides of the field. And 51 in the 51st minute gets the goal for Portland. They were pressing. They just could not find the goals to pull out the equalizer or the victory. Not the end of the world for Portland. However, not a good result for them either. LA Galaxy, they've got to be on cloud nine right now. After a big-time victory like that on the road, you gotta love it. You gotta love it. So, a couple bright spots for the Galaxy. Chicharito, if he's scoring, if he keeps scoring, this team's going to be good. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be on a roll. But they need Chicharito to keep this form up and score damn near every single week. Raheem Edwards is playing at a best 11 caliber right now. He is looking very, very good. And God, it just makes me wish that he would have came home to Toronto even more, especially with the weaknesses we have at wingback for TFC. But they're doing all right as well. So there you go. There's all the games. Let's take a look at the standings before we wrap this episode up. In the Eastern Conference, Philadelphia Union, top spot, 13 points. New York Red Bulls at 10, Atlanta at 10, Chicago in 9th, Columbus and Orlando on 8 points, and then the last playoff spot, Toronto FC, 7 points, DC, Charlotte, Cincinnati, NYCFC, New England, Montreal, and Miami on the outside looking in. Oh, Inter Miami, 1 point out of 5 matchups, 4 losses and a draw. Oof, gives me shivers just thinking about it. Now in the Western Conference, 13 points, top of the table, LAFC. RSL sitting in second, but an extra game played at 11 points. LA Galaxy in third. Austin in fourth at 8 points. Dallas, Colorado, and Houston and Minnesota all tied on 8 points right now. Seattle at 7, Nashville at 7. Expect those two teams to move up. Kansas City, Portland, Vancouver, and San Jose with 2 points. And both of those points for San Jose coming off late, big-time 2-0 comeback. So, overall, there's your standing situation in MLS. It's going to change a lot. We all know that. It's going to change a lot moving forward. It always does, right? It always does. Now, looking ahead, again, next week, we've got Pumas and Cruz Azul on April 5th, and then April 6th, Seattle Sounders hosting New York City. We will be live for that matchup here as long as all goes to plan and I'm able to get everything done before my vacation. Seattle Sounders at home, Lumen Field. It's going to be a hell of a matchup in that first leg. Very excited. The game will be on FS2 for anybody that's wondering, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Then during the week, some of the matchups to really look out for. I'm excited for LA Galaxy and LAFC, unfortunately, because I'll be sitting on a beach in Florida with a pina colada. I won't be able to do the game there, but it'll be a lot of fun watching that one, and I'll definitely watch it. RSL in Toronto should be a very good matchup as well. TFC going on the road to play one of the better teams in the Western Conference. Another good matchup, SKC at home against Nashville. Let's see if Nashville can get that win over a subpar SKC team, but with SKC at home, we all know how that goes. On Sunday, Charlotte and Atlanta, that's going to be an exciting matchup. Those two teams played a great game at the Benz earlier in the season, which we were live for. And then Austin FC and Minnesota should be a decent game as well. So that is the schedule for next week. I'm excited. I'm going to be bringing you my picks and predictions coming out tomorrow. Let's get after it, guys. Again, no lives this weekend, but I'll be back next week for another weekly recap, and you'll see me tomorrow with the picks and predictions, and then, of course, Wednesday, hopefully for that live on on that side. So a big shout out to our sponsors of this segment, Skira, Icelandic water. Get it at your local 7-Eleven, guys, and we will see you very soon. Have a great Monday. Peace.